to use an Advent theme that comes from the Book of Ruth. It's a very appropriate choice, since the Book of Ruth really talks about a redemptive type of story as well. And so Pastor Rick and Pastor Ron will be speaking on the Book of Ruth this coming Advent season. So,
thank you. Am I on? Hello? Feels good. Thanks, Mr. Tech Guy. Well, that feels a whole lot better. Good morning. It's good to be with you again this morning. It was only 3 months ago that I was last here, and it's a privilege to be here again. As we just heard, Pastor Rick and I kind of teaming up. I'm only doing this message. Rick is doing the rest of the season, and I'm just privileged to be here to be part of this story with you. I do have one question for this congregation. Last year when you raised money for the goat, did the goat come to the front as well? I wish I was here for that. That would have been lovely. Can I lead you in prayer? Let's pray. Father God, it's so good to be together again. And Lord, although we see this white gently falling from the sky, we're so grateful that we were able to arrive here safely to worship you. And so, Lord, as we enter this place, as we enter the text that you've given us to dive into, Lord, I pray for calm hearts. I pray that we can pause, catch our breath, and get ready to hear what you have in store for us. And so as we open this word together, I pray for your leading in this conversation this morning. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray this, and all God's people say together, amen. So this morning, we're going to begin a little bit differently. We will be jumping into this Ruth 1 text. However, if you do have your Bible in front of you, I encourage you to open up to that first chapter. If you do not have your Bible with you and you have it on your Bible app on your phone, I could also encourage you to open that up. But what we are going to do is we are actually going to watch a video. And this video will be the reading of the text. So you can do either way. Follow in your Bible, follow on your Bible app, or watch and take in this video with us this morning. So please go ahead.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest.
This is the word of the Lord. The story begins, there was a famine in the land. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was a season of light, it was a season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was a winter of despair. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven, and we were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of the noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil in the superlative degree of comparison only. In literature, composition is of the piece is this element of the story that can stand out, that can grab you and hold on to you. You see, in this book of Ruth is one of these stories where the author brilliantly pens a piece that for generations has been told, it's been heard, and it's remembered for its lessons. And let's face it, in the end, the good guy wins. And that's always great in a story, right? But it wasn't the best of times. In fact, it was closer to the worst of times for the main characters in this story of the first chapter of Ruth. Charles Dickens frames for us his opening paragraph, a memorable statement that captures a picture leading into his book, A Tale of Two Cities. And so the story of Ruth begins as being played out in the differing cultures and the lives of two nations. Two stories who were not supposed to cross over do. And then will in fact incredibly reveal God's sovereignty and goodness. And this is where we enter an Advent place. Looking for hope in a place so different from our own contexts. And so as the passage states, the story takes place in the time of the judges. Joshua had died, and God raised up these leaders, these judges, who would lead over Israel through a time where they repeatedly turned to apostasy, which was a turning away of their faith and the religion that carried them. And it was, in fact, a turning away from God. And as such, they were often delivered into the hands of opposing nations. He didn't have a king yet. And that's what follows in the books of Samuel. Now, interestingly, Elimelech, the father we just heard about, leads his family out of the land he called home because the famine had enveloped it. And yet, ironically, the Bethlehem name means bread. And so you see, the father needed to provide for his family, and decided that the best way to do that was to leave this land and go to Moab. Now, important to the story is the fact that Moab is the enemy of the Israeli nation. Elimelech took his family. He took his wife and sons from a place of God's people where there was fellowship with like-minded people to a place that did not know God. It would be like me, a father, leading my family to a country and a church that didn't worship God and saying to my wife and kids, well, we have to be here. We have to go here since we can't make it back home. Please try and make this work. What an incredibly difficult choice to make. How many of us are confronted with these types of decisions every day? Did Elimelech ask himself, how will this affect my family if we go? It's a great question. As we read on in this incredible passage, we hear about his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, which mean sickly and consumption, but actually sound like characters from a Star Trek movie. And they marry two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. Now here we see more of this crossover happening. Two cultures intersecting with one another. But as time goes by and we read that these two young men, along with her father, Elimelech, dies. I wonder if Naomi ever felt at ease in Moab. Reading this, it sounds like she felt lost and defeated at this point. I can't go on from here. I have nothing. I came full, and now I'm empty. I want to go home. When I read her words as Naomi shares with her daughters-in-law, I hear a woman in agony. And yet in her agony, I also hear a love. She doesn't separate herself from the women who married her sons in a way some might think. She calls them daughters. Daughters. She loves them as her own. adopted into her family, and yet because of that love, imagine this, because of the love, releases them because she knows the life waiting for them back in Bethlehem will be of one of trial and heartache. She has no husband, no sons to carry on the lineage, and certainly no prospects. Naomi has nothing to offer those she has come to cherish as her own. How difficult this must have been for her. I know in my family, when our children married their significant others, you know, we've come to love them, these children of God from other cultures, other families, as one of our own. Right? They're one of our own. And to have them leave our presence through difficulties like divorce, death, or even alienation, well, that would just cause our heart to break. But Naomi knows that the Moabite people are the enemy. She knows this. And in her mind, there's no way that the girls would be accepted. There's no life for them. Go to your own people. Find a way there. I have nothing, she reminds us. And then Orpah returns. But Ruth stays. And states what many have used as a commitment of love and caring through the ages. Marriages have been founded on this statement, which is filled with incredible words of love. Verse 16 is where Ruth says, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I'll die. And there I'll be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me more as well, if even death parts me from you." Eugene Peterson, who interpreted the Bible through in this book called The Message, says it this way: "Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I'll live. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I'll die. And that's where I'll be buried. So help me God. Not even death itself is going to come between us." Now, before this particular statement is even made, Naomi says something that is probably the most anti-evangelical thing I've ever heard. She says this just after Orpah goes and leaves to go to her people. She says, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Go after your sister-in-law. Go after your sister-in-law. Back to her people and her gods." Now, the story doesn't reveal a whole lot about the lives of the people during the time that they lived in Moab. We don't know if this family spent time in conversation about life back in Bethlehem. How they did things, who they served, but my guess would be that they did. My guess would be, my thoughts would be that Ruth would have heard stories of a life in community with people. Although going through a really, really tough time during the Judges, a chosen people who were lifted out of bondage many, many years ago. A people who followed traditions and laws, who separated them from other nations around them. Stories of Moses, the battles that Joshua was involved with, stories of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. I can almost envision them sitting, telling these stories at the dinner table about the goodness of a God who for some reason has left us for a time because we have not followed as we should. Did Elimelech leave because he wanted a clean start for his family? We don't know. Was he running away from that God who promised a redeemer for the nation? We're not sure. What we do know is that God, through moments of his choosing, revealed himself to Ruth when she said, "Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I'll die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and maybe even more so, if even death parts me from you." You see, Ruth saw something. She heard something, maybe felt something that led her to be taken to a place where she may have been ostracized and looked at as an outcast. It's not something that we typically would look forward to. Perhaps a God moment. When Naomi and Ruth arrived back at the home of Elimelech and his family, there was this outpouring of wow. You can almost envision it. I love how the author states this when he says, "When they came back to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them." Stirred, this word conjures up a picture of just mixing things up a little bit, shaking things up a little bit. I can just imagine what that might have looked like. And then here, Naomi shares a part of his story, lamenting about this calamity that was brought upon her family. "The Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. I'm empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought this calamity on me?" The story began in the search for a better life, full of hope. A man needed to provide for his family and left the God community behind in search of a providential bounty. It did not happen the way he planned. The story is also about a woman who lost her husband, a life partner, who she undoubtedly loved and cherished. She raised two boys who met women and married them. The two sons also died. The story is also about a young woman who, for all the logic that was countercultural in so many ways, followed where God was leading her, although she may not have known it at that moment. And the story is about returning home, realizing that we can't do this on our own. As I wonder and ponder this story, this first chapter of Ruth, what strikes me is that the lament Naomi cries is often one we hear today. Why has God brought this on me? Why has he allowed this to happen to me? And what's also inspiring about this first chapter is that the same God who Naomi complains to and about is the same God that Ruth, without any doubt in her mind, is the one who she will give up her life for. It's fascinating. And so as we wrap up this first chapter in Ruth, let me leave you with this. Is the God we proclaim in life today, when we speak of him, worship him, tell our children about him, is a story we share and everything is going to be just the way we want it? A God who doesn't seem quite real, perhaps a genie type of God where all your wishes come true? Or is a story about the realness of a God who does not abandon us in our times of trial? Who does that it's okay to be real in our struggles. in our stories, in our conversations about who he is, and the authentic tensions that are occurring in life's journeys. I got tons of them. And maybe those around us see a God who has a plan, a God who loves us without condition, who hurts when we hurt, who loves when we feel unloved, who carries us through these moments when we just can't walk anymore. A God who loves so much that the connection we lost to him was reestablished when he gave his son, who came to earth, modeled for us a lifestyle, and died for our sins in an ultimate sacrifice so we don't have to. And was raised again so that we can have new life in him. During this Advent season, this particular season, we're going to continue walking with Ruth as she follows God to a place of hope. It's a new place for her. It's a place where hope is surrounded by images of peace. Peace in the middle of the chaos, where she finds joy in the midst of anger and finds love arriving in very unusual and unexpected ways. And so we end this chapter finding that they, meaning Ruth and Naomi, returned home, meaning Bethlehem. And notice that connection for us this morning. And it's at the beginning of the barley harvest. To be continued. Amen. Let me pray with you. Father God,